Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, we're going to be reading a portion there and going on, I guess. We won't be staying a lot of time there, but my message this morning is entitled, Don't Leave the Children Behind. And my concern is for the children, for our children, personally, those of you who are parents, for the children of this church, for the children all around us that are getting left behind in the things of God. And I know we cannot guarantee that our children are going to serve God. They have a will, they make decisions. But I think as parents, as adults, say you say, well, I don't have any children. Well, yeah, you do. They're all around you here. I think we have a responsibility to do everything we can to try to reach our children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and see that they continue to follow Christ when they're not in our homes. And I think we ought to have a heart concern for our children. I know some of you have children who have rebelled. I know your heart's broken. I do not preach this message to make your heart break anymore. In fact, I want to preach this message to give you hope. I want to preach this message to tell you not to give up, not to give in, not to turn them over to the devil, but just keep on going, keep on praying, keep on trusting God to do something in their hearts and in their lives. Those of you who have young children, my message for you this morning is that you take your job very, very seriously and that you learn to do those things that are most likely to help them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to do those things that would be pleasing to God. Because I tell you what, when you get up in some years, there is no greater joy than to know that your children walk in truth. There is no greater pleasure. It doesn't matter how many boats you have and how nice your house is and what kind of car you drive or anything else. When your children are grown, you want them living right and you want them serving God. If you serve God, and you want to see some things happen. And if they don't, that's going to be one of the greatest heartbreaks of your life. You do what you can now, but never give up. If you get down the road and they turn away from God, still don't give up. Don't leave the children behind. In Exodus chapter 10, we're reading the story of basically it's the time of the plagues when God has sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. And throughout the plagues, you find that there's a number of excuses that are made. The number of compromises that are offered by Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you know what, I'll let you go, but don't go too far. He says, I'll let you go, but don't stay too long. He says, why don't you just do it here in the land? He says, I'll let you go, but a later excuse is, I don't take your cattle and your goods with you. Do you know what? Here in this excuse in Exodus chapter 10, we read that he says, I'll let you go as long as you leave the children behind. Exodus 10 verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, and as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. In other words, he's saying, that's a trick. Verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. For that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. He says, here, you're trying to take your children, you're trying to take everybody, that's a trick. He says, I'll let the men go, I'll let the grown-ups go, as long as you leave the children behind. And Moses had said, no, we can't leave our children behind. And I think it's time for us to learn that God wants us to fight so that we don't leave our children behind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, be with us this morning, help me with this message. Lord, I need your help. You know, I've been traveling. You know, the body just seems to maybe not concentrate the way it ought to right now as I'm recovering from that trip. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would overcome all that this morning and that you would work in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would burden the hearts of especially those with young children, but even those with older ones, that we would learn that though we can't do the same thing with the older ones, we can still not let them go in your presence. We can still fight for them at the throne of grace. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to learn to fight for our children. Lord, sometimes they cannot fight for themselves. Sometimes they will not fight for themselves. Mom and Dad need to be in there fighting for them. Lord, I pray that you'd just help us to learn this lesson, not to compromise with the world and say, we'll serve you, but we'll let our children stay behind. Lord, burden this. Empower the message this morning by your grace, by your Spirit. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, God, when He created the family, when He created the household, it's sometimes called the house. It would include servants, I guess. But He created it as a spiritual unit. He created it for the purpose of that family coming together and serving God together and growing together. We see it in several places, actually a number of places in Scripture, just a couple here. This is introduction, but you know the story of Zacchaeus. You know about Zacchaeus being that wee little man who went up in the tree and he waited for Jesus to come by. And when Jesus came by, he looked up in the tree and he called to him. And in chapter 19 of Luke in verse 9, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He didn't say to Zacchaeus, "This day salvation has come to you." He said, "This day salvation has come to your house." And throughout Scripture you find that when God reaches someone in a household, the goal is to reach the rest of those in that family. I realize that sometimes it may take years. And I realize that there are exceptions where someone will not turn to God. This is spoken of in Scripture. But you know what? The Bible says the desire of the heart, the desire of the believers in that family ought to be that the rest of them become believers. Ought to be that the rest of them serve God. You parents ought to have a burning heart desire that your children get saved. But you ought to go further than that. You ought to have a burning heart desire that your children are faithful to God and that they serve God. It ought to be something that burns in your soul. It ought to be something that stirs you. Those children were given to you as a heritage of the Lord. They were given to you for a purpose, and that purpose is to raise them for God. You come here, you find in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm not picking, I'm trying to help you this morning. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. Paul and Silas, this is when they sing at midnight, praise God, and the prison's open and the jailer begins to kill himself. And Paul cries out, "Do thyself no harm, for you're all here." And the jailer comes in and he trembles and falls before Paul and Silas. And in verse 30 of Acts 16 it says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." You see how the Apostle Paul goes for the juggler. He goes for the household. He goes for that entire family. He doesn't quit just because he had the jailer. You say, wait a minute, does that jailer believe and his whole household get saved? No, because in the next verse, in verse 32, it says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." He says that to that Philippian jailer. He says, "I've got something for you. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But don't leave the wife out. Don't leave your children out. Give me a little chance here. Let me talk to them too. I've got a message that'll help your whole family." He says, "I've got something for you. It is God's plan in salvation to reach the family as a unit. It is God's family for sanctification, to work with the whole family." Let me show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't claim to totally understand the significance of this. This is one of those passages that I've always felt like there's something else, and maybe one of these days I'll find that something else. But it gives a chance. It shows that a believing spouse, the believing husband or the believing wife, even if their spouse is lost and not serving God, can bring God's holiness into that family. If one of them is saved, and if one of them is serving God, it can still bring God's goodness to those children. That's a good blessing, isn't it? That's a joy. In chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 12, he says, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." You say, was this Paul's opinion? No, it just means this is not previous revelation, this is new revelation. He says, this is something God given to you. Jesus Christ never said this was when He's on earth. He says, "If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." That's, like I say, there's something there. You know what he's saying? He's saying that if one of you is saved, you can bring God's blessing, God's holiness, God's sanctification into your family, and you can make your home a Christian home, even if your wife or your husband won't follow after God. That's a good blessing, folks. There's people out there, one of them gets saved, or one of them gets right with God, and the spouse doesn't want to come along. And I know they feel in their heart, "I can't have a Christian home. I can't bring up my children right because my husband or my wife won't follow God." God says you can. God says you, by yourself, can make a difference in that home. You don't have to throw it away because your spouse won't follow. But you don't know what might happen to that husband or wife over a period of time. But I'll get to that later. Abraham, and I'm going to come to this verse later, so I'm just going to mention it briefly now. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says, in fact, God says about Abraham, isn't it interesting, when God says something about you, it's good. I mean, it's real. It may not be good what He says about you, but it's good what He says about Abraham. He says in chapter 18 of Genesis, verse 19, "For I know him." In other words, God says, "I know Abraham, I know about him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham and that which he hath spoken of him." He says, "I know Abraham. I know he's going to command his children, his household, after me. I know that he's going to teach them justice and judgment. I know that he's going to bring them up in the things of God. And I know I can trust Abraham with that." Do you realize, parents, you can help. You know what God's will is? God's will is for a family to be saved. Don't tell me it's not God's will for your child to be saved. It's His will. It's His will for your child to be saved. Now some of these Calvinists get a little carried away, don't they? You know, we don't know. No, I can tell you right now, it is God's will for your son, for your daughter, to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is God's will that that family unit be saved together. And if they're not, then it ought to be something that you cry out to God and you go to the Lord. And if the children are young, you work with them and you teach them and you spend the time with them and you show them the ways of God so that they can know your God. But not only that, it's God's will for that family unit to be holy together. God even makes help for those who maybe one of them is not serving God. He still makes a little help for you. He says that one parent who's serving God can make a difference. But He says, "I know that the right kind of parent is going to lead their children to serve me." So it's not only God's will that you be saved together, it's God's will that you be sanctified together, serving Him. Now that you know that, the question comes, how do you do it? It's not a little tricky thing. It's not just a little easy thing. I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'm going to try to make them simple. The truth of the matter is, these 3 points are some of the most complex things you'll ever learn to do in your life, and you'll still struggle to do it while your children are grown. I'm going to give you 3 things, but these 3 things are not easy. These 3 things may be 3 little words, but there are challenges to them. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, because these 3 points are taken from half of this verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. The first part of the verse says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." We'll get to that later. But these 3 points and the rest of the message is taken from the last phrase. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And most of you are familiar with the little cute initials, TLC. You know, give them a little extra TLC. You know what that is? Tender loving care. TLC. I'm going to give you another one to remember for your children. It's ELC. And the middle one is love, so that'll help you remember it. ELC. Three words. Example. That's the E. Two, love. And number three is command. By the way, I chose command instead of a more general word like lead, because that's a biblical word, and that's what we need to learn to do with our children. The order is right. You're going to have trouble helping your children through love and command until you show them by example. Examples first. And he says here, you say, where do you get example from this passage? He says, bring them up. How can you bring someone up if you're not already up? Bring them up. That means you got to be there too. You got to go there too. You have to be the example. So you bring them up. That's example. In the nurture. Nurture, that means a loving environment. That means an environment where they can grow, where they can become something. That means an environment where they know there's some safety there for them. That means an environment where they're going to be respected. You say, well, you're talking the world's language. No, the world gets it wrong that they get stuck there. But it's right to love your children. It's right to give them a little bit of space where they feel like they're safe. It's right to give them a place where they are respected and loved, and they're told that you can do it and God can help you do it and God will bless you if you'll give your heart and your life to Him. God has something special for you. That's all right, folks. Tell them. Because He does. That nurture, that's that love. And then the last thing is command in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what it means to admonish? Sit down. You didn't do that right over there, did you? You sit there and you think about it for a while, and I'll let you get up. And if you get up after I told you to sit down, you'll know it. You won't want to sit down, but you will again. You say, whoa. You know? But I want to tell you something. Those three have to work together and they have to be in order. See, if you command without loving, you won't be respected. I remember reading something. I think this was in a secular magazine, but I thought, man, this is pretty good. It talked about three types of parenting. This is years ago. I don't think they'd write this now. Probably a Christian magazine wouldn't write this now. So there's three types of parenting. There said there's the, I forget what they called it, but the, I call it lazy fare. That's where you just kind of, you know, you're kind of liberal. You kind of let them do what they want to. You know, it's kind of a loose side. It's just kind of, there was a word I had, but I can't come on it now. But it's kind of, you just kind of let them do. You just kind of let them go. And then there's the authoritarian. The authoritarian is, do this, do that. I'll beat you if you don't, kid. You know, I mean, that thing all the time. That's all it is. But then they used another word, and I said, well, that kind of helps. They call it authoritative. And they said authoritative, they settle the rules, they say this is the way it is, but they do it in love, and they do it with security, and they do it in the right way. And they said, as they did a study years ago, they said that they found that those parents that were authoritative had the most healthy children. They weren't authority. You know what happened to some of you? Now, I'm trying to help. You know what's happened to a lot of people? They grew up with an authoritarian parent, and they decided, I'm not going to make my children feel like my dad or my mom made me feel. They berated me, and they put me down, and there are parents like this, folks. Sometimes we forget in this liberal age that there were some of you were raised like that. Other people were. I mean, just mean. Just never loved you, never sat down and talked to you like you're a real person, never did anything. I mean, just never did anything with you. You just, come on. You know, you were meant to be seen and not heard. You know? That was how you were brought up. And you came up and you're a parent now and you said, that made me feel so bad. It made me feel so low. I'm not going to do that with my kids. You know what you did? You stopped, you avoided that mistake and you made this one over here. Said, I'm just going to try to talk them into everything. I'm going to reason with them in every situation. I'm going to show them I love them, and I want to make sure that they never think I don't love them. And so I'll never say something that'll be so harsh that will just make them think I don't love them. And so you come over here, and you know what happens? Your children become hellraisers. Not in cuss. All right, that's what they do. I mean, they go around and they become wild and everything else, and you don't have any control whatsoever. Why? Because you went from that mistake over to here. You know where here is? Here is nurture and admonition. He says, bring them up in the nurture, that's love, and admonition of the Lord. And when you put those two together, you can become the right kind of parent.
Amen.
Now, I know it's different this morning, but I always do something different, don't I? You never know what I'm going to do when I get back from these trips. But I want to help you. I want to look at this, and you see example, love, and command. You need all three of those in your family if you're going to have the right kind of children. We need to have that with these children around here if we're going to help them. First of all, let's talk about example just a little bit. Galatians, I can't get the word out. Genesis, I'll blame it on jet lag. Okay, Genesis chapter 19. That's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah getting destroyed. We're not going to dwell on this story. But do you realize that in chapter 18 of Genesis, God said about Abraham, I know him. I know that he'll command. He used the word command, by the way. We'll be back to that. I know he'll command his children and his household after me. He's going to command them to follow me. Now, Genesis chapter 19, the next chapter, we have a man named Lot, who is actually the nephew of Abraham. You know what Lot was told? Lot was told in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12, and the men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever hast thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see, if you don't bring them up, you can't bring them out. And if you don't live it in front of them, you can't bring them up. See, he didn't bring it. He said, bring them out of this place. Do you know what your desire is? Your first desire for your children ought to be, bring them out. Bring them out of Egypt. Bring them out from destruction. Bring them out from the judgment of hell to get them saved. I mean, that ought to be the first thing. Lot couldn't bring them out. Why? Because he hadn't brought them up. And he didn't bring them up, I believe, because he didn't live that example at home. You say, the Bible says he's a righteous man. Yes, externally he did the stuff. But when he got home, they knew who he really was. They knew that there was some hypocrisy there. Oh, I'm not saying he was an unrighteous man in an external way. I'm not saying he was evil. I'm saying he compromised with this world. You realize, nobody knows you like your kids know you. Do you know what disgusts them more than anything else about a mom and a dad when a mom and a dad is a hypocrite? You come in and you come to church and oh, how you love Jesus and you talk to everybody and you talk it up good, but you get home and you have preacher for lunch and you talk about everything else and you get all messed up in your life. You argue in front of them all the time. You don't show love for one another. You don't live for God. It's nothing real in your heart. And your kids, you make your kids sick. They know if you're real or not. Take your kids. You know, you have to get them up in years, a few years. Sit down with your kids sometimes and say, do you think mom and dad really love Jesus? Ooh. They know if it's real or not. You see, that example, you can't bring them up unless you're there. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. How can you train them up if you're not living it in front of them? By the way, if your children see you as living lives where it's fake and it's put on and it's hypocrisy, they assume that everybody else they see at church is just like that at home. And you have defined Christianity for them. Do you realize you define Christianity for your children? They decide what Christianity is like by watching mom and dad at home. It doesn't matter how godly the Sunday school teacher is. It doesn't matter how godly everybody else is. If they go home and they see mom and dad look good there in church, but mom and dad aren't real at home, mom and dad are hypocrites at home, then all those other people must be hypocrites at home too, and they're just putting on a good show. And then they decide Christianity is a big fake. And whose fault is it? Examples first. You say, but nobody's perfect. No, nobody is perfect. But I'll tell you what, when you mess up, you can make it right with God. You can make it right with each other if it's a husband and wife problem. And you can make it right with your kids, and your kids will respect you when you do that. Sam was little one time, and I paddled him wrongfully. I wasn't supposed to. I mean, I found out. Right, you know, it's one of those things, you paddle him, and then by the time you walk out there, your wife comes to you and said, you know he didn't do that. I forget what it was, but I remember my heart sunk. I was wrong with my child. I got him, I was one of those, it was when he was real little and I got him fast. You know, later I took longer, but I got him, had him up and he was gotten it. That's the only time I remember doing that. And there were a bunch of times he deserved it and didn't get it. As there is with any child, by the way, you know that. But I had paddled him wrongfully. I remember going back in there and handing him, I forget whether it was a paddle or a belt or something, say, you can give me a whipping. He didn't know what to do with it. They scared him to death. But you know what? I look at that, and that was my way of saying to him, I apologize to him. I told him, I'm sorry, son. You know what? I didn't have any trouble respect from Sam. He knew I meant what I said. He knew I wasn't perfect. I mean, my kids have seen me get mad and throw fits. Most of you haven't seen me do that too much. Maybe once or twice. But you know what? You haven't seen me. They've seen me. They've seen me at my down times. They've seen me when I said stupid stuff. Sometimes I've had to go back to my kids and I say, you know, I'm sorry. You got to realize your dad's human too. And I had these things on me and I let it get to me and I'm sorry and I apologize. But you know what? I don't know. I mean, I think my kids still respect me. And it's not because I'm anybody. Man, I've messed up. My wife's, you know, well, she's messed up, yeah. I'm not supposed to say that publicly, but I mean, she's not perfect either. And, you know, we've done things wrong with our kids, but you know what? We've gone, and you know, I think they've seen our Christianity as at least real. We really mean what we live. We mess up, but we really love them, and we really love God. And I think my kids would know that. You know what? You've got to live that example. You say, what kind of an example? Paul told Timothy, I know it's a different circumstance, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, you know, be thou example to the believers. And he says six things. He says in word, in conversation. I'm trying to memorize it. I've got that memorized, but let me just go over and read it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. You know, your kids are watching, they're watching the things you say. In conversation. Conversation is more than just our talk, if you study the word. It means our reaction to people, situations, and everything. Your kids notice when you cuss the guy out in front of you who pulled out in front of you. One of these days, they'll cuss the guy that pulls out in front of them. They'll do the same thing. They learned it from you. Trouble is, lots of times we're letting TV be our teachers for our kids. Where do they get those words? Well, they either got it from TV or they got it from kids who got it from TV. You know? But you look there, he says, in conversation, in charity, that's that love that reaches out, that gives, in spirit. They know your heart. They know what's in your heart. In faith, do you believe God? When things are rough, do you sit down with the kids and say, you know, it's been a rough time, but God's going to take care of this and God will get us through. Impurity. They go and they hear the preacher talk about living right and they're told they can't do it and then they see dad watching some R-rated movie or worse. What does it do? You lose your example. You lose your example. I mean, if you know, you've got to understand that there's a pattern there. There's a power of example, though. If you live right, you know, this power is not about children, it's about marriage. But look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 here, or 1, 2, 3, and 4. We'll read the whole thing. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. He said to these ladies who had lost husbands, he said, you know, don't try to just primp up and make yourself look so good outside. He said, you look good on the inside. That's what God's concerned about. That's what's going to make a difference with your husband. You have that meek and quiet spirit. You have that love for God. You live before Him, your husband, in the right way. And he says, you may reach Him for the Lord. An example can go a long ways in helping your kids say, you know, there's something real about that. It takes example, it takes love. And I've already talked about the relationship here, so we can go pretty quickly through here, but I like Isaiah 7:15. You know, we're used to 7:14. It's talking about Christ being born of a virgin. Verse 15 is kind of interesting. It says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the good and choose the evil. It says we're going to give him butter, we're going to give him honey. And by giving him butter and honey, that's going to help him know to refuse the good and choose the evil. I've thought about that. What's that talking about? I think in a life where you bring someone up, you give butter is always good in Bible. It's the rich stuff. Honey is always good. It's the sweet stuff. You know what? You need to show your children the butter and honey. Do you realize if you show them the good way, if you show them the good things about the Christian life, you know, there's some tough things about the Christian life. And as your children get older, they need to learn some of those tough things. There's times you sit down with them and you tell them, but you know what, when those kids are little, when they're starting up, you ought to say, man, it's fun going to church. It's fun serving God. It's fun going out and, man, we've done knocking on doors, or my wife has with the kids when she had them at home, and they'd just get out and hand out tracts going down the street. My kids love that thing. We had to watch Sam. He'd just take off out across the field. Some big people working with, we had him times he'd take off and there'd be some guy out there working on heavy equipment, you know, using some sort of big drill or something. He'd go hand him a track. We didn't mind him handing the track. We just didn't want him to get run over the bulldozer. They love doing it. You show them how to. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Your kids will put you to shame in their boldness for Christ if you teach them right. They'll make you think, wow, man, I ought to be doing more. They love doing it. They love serving God. Show them the butter. Show them the honey. Show them how good it is. And enjoy serving God with them. And then they'll know how to refuse evil and choose the good. You need to avoid unjust dealings. We were in Ephesians chapter 6. The first part of verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Why does it say that to fathers? Because that's more common with fathers. Mothers can do it. You know what a father does? He just gets harsh and mean. Back over here, he gets authoritarian. You know, and he doesn't show love. He doesn't ever. Do you play with your children? You say, what are you talking about? Play with them. Get down on the floor when they're little. Play with them. Enjoy. Take them places. My wife had to do a lot of the bringing up when our children were little because I was doing stuff. I was gone all the time. Even then, though, when I'd get home, when I had them a chance, man, I'd get on the floor and wrestle with Sam, and I'd take Carolyn. We'd have a good time. And after church on Sunday nights, you know, we'd let them put on shows for us. They'd come in, stand on their head for us, and we'd go, hey, you know. I'm telling this stuff on Sam. He's going to have to live it down for a long time. Sorry, fella. Carolyn would come in and she'd do her, you know, acting and everything. And we'd, yay! And then we were sorry later. No, it's weird. I'm kidding. But you know what? We'd have a good time with them. We'd do balloon bouncing. You know, we'd get a balloon one time and we'd be bouncing it around the living room, you know. Just have fun. Wrestle with them. I played with my kids. I sang with my kids. You say, well, you can sing. They don't care if you can sing or not. I mean, just enjoy. Learn some of those good little songs and sing with them. Have fun with your kids. You realize that's butter and honey to them. That shows you love them. That shows you care. Don't treat them like they're non-entities, like they're non-persons, because they can't talk about your workplace stuff. You know? Just have fun with them. It's okay. Love them. So we've got example, love, and then command. Command. The children have a part in this. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, okay, they have a part. You know what? Parents have a part too. We've already been to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. I've mentioned it several times. God says, I know him. I know Abraham. That he will command his children. Do you realize, parents, let me say something to you. And I say this in love. Remember? Example, love. Okay, I'm trying to stay in order. I say this in love. You need to be very upset when your children disobey you one time. And do something about it. If you will do that, pretty soon you will have an easier, happier, more relaxed relationship with your children than you do now. Realize, if you'll just teach your children that you mean it always the first time. You know what I see parents doing today? Don't do that. And they go ahead and do it while they watch them. Sit down there and don't get up until I say you can. They stay for about 60 seconds. They look around. They get up. Nobody says anything. Do you know what you just told your kids? You just told your kids God doesn't mean it when He tells you something in this book. Don't any of you get a heart attack right now. You know why I say that? Because your children's understanding of God comes from you. Number one, Dad. Do you realize their concept of God comes from Dad? My dad can do anything until they learn different. But you know what? They have a concept. Their early concept of God comes from Dad. And if Dad doesn't mean what he says, and Dad doesn't mean it when he says do this, then they figure God doesn't. And he doesn't care either. And I can do anything I want to. Oh, I listened to it. Yeah, I'll try that a little bit, but it was kind of too hard, God, so I'll see you later. You know, that's what it is. You realize that you are training your children. Here's what you do as a parent. God's up here. Let me get a couple something here. You know how I do this. I think I do my plates here. My head's in the middle. That's you. Okay? God's up here. He says, I'm going to give you these children. I know they weren't up in heaven, but he says, I'm going to give you these children as a heritage from me. You are in the middle. You are raising your children for God. You're in the middle. You're raising those children for God. He says, I give them as a heritage to you. You know what your job is over a period of about 20 years? Bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and slowly get out of the way, so that they can have the relationship with God that they had with you. This to this. Only takes about 20 years. This, they're my responsibility for God. They're my responsibility, but I'm doing it for the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do with my children? Okay, I'll do this. You do this. And as they learn to obey you, that's how they learn to obey God. So if you don't mean what you say, they think God doesn't mean what He says. Ooh. Get so quiet. And I know I'm not preaching loud. I think my words are saying enough. I want to help you. You have a responsibility. Example, love, command. You say, well, I don't want to be mean to my children. Bible says, spare not for their crying. You say, you mean you actually recommend spanking? Needs to be done in the right way. You know what? We always pick out this one out of the 10,000, this abuser out there, and we use them as an excuse for not doing what God says do. Don't abuse your children. And if you have any trouble with it, I can give you some guidelines. I mean, I'm serious. I can give you some guidelines. I've worked with children. I had to learn some things. I taught children. I had my own children. I mean, you learn some guidelines not to abuse. One of the very simple guidelines is don't beat them when you're mad. If you're mad, make them wait. Number one, you don't hurt them. Number two, they hurt more because they had to wait for it. So it's more effective. So you don't hit them as hard, and it's more effective. So it's no, you know, just wait. Don't do it when you're mad. Dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't do it when you're mad. You know? But do it. Take care of it. Do what needs to be done. Because if you don't, see, the thing is we're leaving our children behind today. Christians are bringing up children, and they're going out and serving the world. You say, well, what should I do about it? Fight. Don't give up. You say, but I've done the best and it's kind of messed up and I don't know, I can't go back and change yesterday. No, you can't. But let me say this. You can still fight for them today. As long as they're alive and you're alive, you can fight for your children at least by going to the Lord in prayer. Never give up on your children. Do you realize that Satan, parents, I want you to understand something. Satan's after your children. Grandparents, he's after your grandkids. I mean, he's after your children. He wants them. And you know what? It may take years of faithful application of these principles. ELC, example, love, and command. It may take a lot of turning and learning and fixing up and doing it again. There are many obstacles. But when you come to the end, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And you know what? When your children walk in truth, there is no greater joy, I don't believe, than to know that your children walk in truth. And you'll come one of these days, if your children will serve God, and you'll say, it was worth everything that I gave up. It was worth all that I struggled through. It was worth everything I went through. But never give up. Don't give up in the terrible twos. Do you realize most people today, probably 90% of parents today, lose their children when they're toddlers. They lose control of their children when they're toddlers. If you will keep control of your children when you're toddlers, the rest becomes a lot easier. When they're going 2 and 3 years old, if you can retain control then, you'll find the rest works a lot easier. 90% of parents today lose their children when they're 2 and 3 years old. Don't give up when they're in those early school years and they start learning all this stuff they shouldn't know. Don't give up during the rebellious teens. If you have the rebellious teens, don't give up. Don't give up when they're grown and on their own. You say, you don't understand, Pastor. My kids are grown and they're not even living with me. They're out there doing, what can I do now? Well, you can't do what you could do when they were 2 years old. Do you understand that God understands and I understand and everybody understands? You know what? When my kids were, you know, I've had times with my kids now. You know, they're in their 20s. I've had times I'd love to take them back about 15 years younger and just say, don't do that. And something reminds me, you can't do that with them now. Oh, okay, Lord. Would you teach them now? Would you show them this? This is not good for them, Lord. Would you show them something? God sometimes gives me a chance to say a word, but I couldn't come down on the hard now. You can't do that when they're adults. You've got to deal with it differently. You can't do the same thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never kept from taking it to the Lord. Never give up. Never give up! Say, Lord, these children you gave to me, they need to be saved. These children you gave to me, maybe they're saved, but they need to be serving you. God, I'm never going to give up as long as I breathe, as long as they breathe, as long as we're on this earth, I'm going to be crying out to you. Oh, Lord, save my child. Oh, Lord, raise them up. Oh, Lord, work in their heart. I want to see something happen in them. Don't leave your children behind. Keep fighting for them. Never give up. Where are you this morning? Maybe you just need to be that example at home. Maybe you need to go to your children and say, I'm sorry, but I've been a terrible example of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to think that Christianity's been the way I've been living it. I need to get some things right. And I made some things right with God today, and I'm trying to get them right. Now, I may still mess up, but I want you to know your mommy, your daddy is serious about serving God, and I want to get some things right. Are you balancing love and command? You've got to have both of them. Your children will respect your commands if you love them. But if you love them without command, they won't respect you at all. If you're afraid of them, God's given you a responsibility. Are you praying for your children? You ought to start that before they're born. Praying for them. and you ought to never quit? Are you refusing to give up? I will not give up on my kids. You know, that's what caused me. And I'm not trying to pick on Sam. Sam's a big boy now, and he can handle me using him as an example every once in a while because I'm not picking on him. And I appreciate him. He's a big help. But it was my desire not to give up that caused me, his senior year of high school, pull him out of Christian school and spend that year with him. Because I loved him. And I still love that young man. And I still love my daughter. I went over China to see my daughter because I love her. I've never wanted to go to China in my life till my girl got over there. I never had desire. I didn't care about the Great Wall. I didn't care about all that other stuff. But there was an attraction over there that went far beyond all those other things. I had my little girl over there. She's not so little anymore, but she's my little girl. And I loved her. And I went over there. I believe I'd give my life for even one of my children, even now. And even times I thought maybe they were falling away from the Lord. Man, it scared me so bad. I went to God. I said, Lord, when they were young enough, I went to them and I worked with them. I said, Lord, I can't give up on them. These are my kids. I don't care whether... I don't want y'all to misunderstand this. But my kids are first. When they were young, they were first ahead of this church. I said, I'm going to bring my children up. If I lose the church, I can go back to the kids. I lose the kids, I don't know what to do. Fight for them. You say, well, mine's gone off. Don't give up. Come back and say, Lord, I want to cry out to you one more time. Lord, I'm going to try one more time. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up for my kids. Got to have that heart. Got to have that heart. Let's stand. Bow your heads. Lord, these precious children we see around us, Lord, I've been in church too long. I know the chances are that a great number of them will go out in the world when they grow up. They're going to have good moms and good dads. But they're going to reject it all. Some of them are just going to get out of church and live pretty decent lives as the world is concerned. Some of them are going to get into sin and really mess up. Some of them are already cold and hard-hearted to the things of God, even as children. Lord, it breaks my heart to know that. I've seen it so many times, Lord. I wish I would never have to see it again, but I know I will if I live. Lord, I pray that you'd break the hearts of moms and dads for their children. Lord, I pray that you'd break all of our hearts for the children of this church. And work in us to give ourselves entirely to you, but to pay whatever price is necessary to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to give them the right example, to show them your love and to give them your commands. Lord, break our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Barbara, if you just play. You be obedient to the Lord this morning.